Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us again today. This is part two of our discussion on 10 steps to homeschooling with excellence. And Abinella and I are, well, the first part in part one, if you missed part one, definitely go back and listen to that. We tackle the first four, and the first one is pray. The second one is know your why. The third one is know your state laws and join or get involved in your state homeschool organization. Number four is join HSLDA, which is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Much easier to say HSLDA.
It's much easier, yes.
It's a long name. And so today we're going to jump into probably 5, 6, and 7. We'll see how far we can get with those two. So let's jump into number five. Number five is de-school. I don't even know if that's a real word. Is that a real word, Abby?
Well, it's not unschool, de-school. Right. You're de-school. I think we're gonna make it a word. There's a lot of new words in 2020, and we're gonna throw in de-school. This one is so important. I mean, this one, and I feel like this one frees a lot of parents. And I think this is something that new homeschool parents don't even think about needing to do. I think immediately we think, oh, I'll just recreate school at home. How hard can that be? And we're here to tell you that that's the last thing in the world that you want to do. It took me years to let go of this traditional school model that I was raised with and then educated in. The reason that we homeschool is to not recreate school at home.
Right.
Homeschool is a lifestyle. Homeschooling is teaching and training our children unique to who God created them to be, their gifts, their talents, who they are, the direction the Lord is taking them in their life. And I think one of the most damaging things you can do is try to recreate public school at home or try to create some other family's way that they homeschool into your home. It's going to derail you for sure. Your homeschool should and will look unique to your family, your children, and your season. It will change season by season in your life. It will change based on where your family is. Where a traditional in-the-box public school, it looks the same for every kid. It looks the same year after year, you know, decade after decade. And that's not what we're doing. So you need to take that off. And some families actually take... I've heard a lot of families that say when they pull their kids out, if some of these families are pulling out, if not if you're starting from the beginning, but when you pull your kids out of school, take some time and just don't do any academics, don't do school, and just reacclimate to having your kids at home and setting up those foundations in your home and completely reprogramming yourself as to what you want your homeschool. No, what God wants your homeschool to look like in your home.
Right. Yes. You know, talking about family, one of the things that does is it gives you kind of a reset, a family reset. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that we often have heard from parents, and it's really interesting what's gone on the last, you know, 8 months, 2020 has happened, is that parents have for the first time ever for a lot of families had their kids home with them. And for a long time, parents said, well, I don't know that I could stand having my kids home with me because they would drive me crazy. Well, right. I'm just throwing this out there. Perhaps the reason that they might drive you crazy is because someone else is raising them throughout the rest of the week for the majority of the week. And so if that's the case, if someone else is raising your kids and you don't like their behavior, it's time for you to take control of their behavior and to take control of their character. We just did a fantastic episode maybe a month ago or so with Rachel Carman on Character. And it was so good. She has a new, whole new program out that's free. Go back and listen to that if you missed it, called Counter Culture Character. And it's our responsibility as parents to instill that character into our kids and to help them become Christ-like as much as they can. The school's not going to do that for you. Private school, public school, they're not going to do that for you. And so fall in love with your kids all over again, or maybe for the first time ever, enjoy them. And I'm not saying that every day it's easy and it's, you know, piece of cake and our family, you know, all the time we get along so perfectly. I mean, Abby, before you and I started recording today, there may or may not have been a squabble between my children that I was trying to deal with. But you know what? It happens. We're humans. And,
yes, and homeschool is a lifestyle. It fits into our life. We don't ship the kids away, do life, and then bring them back home.
Right, right, right. You teach them how to be able to interact with one another and get along with each other and love one another. And it is one of the hardest things as a parent, but it's one of the greatest things as a parent, because if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it for you. And so, you know, build that family unit, reset your family structure, and de-school. You know, that actually can take some real intentionality, but it can be done.
It can't. It took me years and a constant checking myself, because I was realizing my expectations were coming from a system outside my home rather than, and that goes back to your why. When I really got to why am I doing this, my why could form my expectations, which then could, you know, lead into how we were going to school. So, you know, if your why is rooted on God's call, then does it really matter that you start at 8 and you end at 2:30 and you have to have X amount of hours? You know, it looks different for every family in every season. So let go of the expectations that your children have had upon them and bring them home and build your own expectations. Like Yvette said, if they've been under someone else's expectations and then they come home and you have different ones, they're going to make you crazy. They are. So you have to de-school. You have to put your head into a place that we are not recreating public school at home. And then secondly, is part of that is do not compare yourself with other homeschool families. That is another trap that we fall into, is, well, their homeschool looks like this. Well, they're accomplishing this and their kids do this and they do these activities. And you have to let that go too, because we are homeschooling the children God gave to us, unique to our family, not someone else's. So let go of all the comparison.
Right. That's right. And refer back to number one, which is pray.
Pray
with your kids. I will say one thing. You talked about how a lot of parents will just take that time to not do school at all. You know, just rest as a family. Mm-hmm. Spend that time reading to your kids. Always start by reading God's word together. And then just find good books and read to your kids, because that is going to build a family unit and relationships with your kids and with each other. It's really fun because, you know, it's like watching movies together. Once you've seen the same movie so many times over and over and over again, you start quoting those lines and you know, maybe other people on the outside wouldn't get it, but you get it
because inside joke.
Right. It's like, exactly. Yeah, and so it's the same, you know, with reading. If you're reading these great books together, then you will kind of create your own family bond through good literature. And there are so many great things. If you haven't ever listened to Read Aloud Revival with Sarah McKenzie, she talks all about reading.
She has a book called The Read Aloud Family, and it's all about that, building a family culture around books.
Yes, and there are tons and tons of good books. And I'll link to some books that give reference to books. As a matter of fact, quite some time ago, I don't know, a few months ago, Abby and I did a podcast on our favorite homeschool books. And they weren't, I'm trying to remember, did we talk about...
They were for just moms. They
Right.
Were
okay.
Like,
that's what I was thinking.
To read with our kids. Ooh, we'll do one of those. That's on the docket.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll give
too.
You some of our favorite books that we do read aloud with our family.
We'll do that. Well, that sounds like fun. Okay, we're going to do that.
Here's a preview. It will be Little House on the Prairie on that list somewhere.
Yes.
Okay, that's all you're going to get.
Oh my goodness. I love Little House because, I want to live like the Ingalls family did. But anyway, but with electricity. And flushing toilets. But anyway, I've said that before. Little House. And now we're actually reading Anne of Green Gables. Well, we just finished Anne of Green Gables and we're reading Anne of Avonlea. But anyway, that's rabbit trail. But we'll put some links to some really good books and to the podcast that we talked about. Some books that will refer you to good literature. And then we'll do another podcast soon on some of our favorite books that we read to our family. Yes. So including Little House on the Prairie. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.
We are back, and man, this time goes so quickly because we've only gotten to one today. So number five is D-School. Let's move on. Number six on our list of 10 steps to homeschooling with excellence is find a local community. That is so very important, is to just find a local group of other families. And sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes it's really easy to do. One of the ways that I have found is the easiest way to do that is, as much as I hate social media sometimes, is social media. You know, because most, from what I have seen, most towns and little cities and stuff have a homeschool group. You know, if you're looking at, you know, Greenville, South Carolina, you can go on Facebook and type in Greenville Homeschool, and up will pop a few different groups, you know, homeschooling in the upstate and, you know, Greenville homeschoolers or whatever. Find those groups that might be in your local community and figure out ways to connect with them. Sometimes they're groups that just do field trips together, or sometimes they do co-ops together. And that's the other thing is if there are co-ops and you're a mom who wants to be involved in a co-op, typically co-ops, from what I've seen, most of them are run by moms. You know, the different moms teach the different classes to all of the kids, and they kind of rotate in and out and stuff. And it's really fun. And it's really a community of local families. But Abby, talk a little bit about yours, because I know that you've been really involved in your local support group.
So there's lots of different kinds of co-ops. One is like an academic co-op where you're meeting three times a week or two times a week, and there's set times and you're doing set curriculum together. And the kids are going through classes. And then some are just support groups where you're maybe just doing field trips and mom's nights out and park days. And I'm actually the director of our local homeschool. We call it a co-op, but we don't do it's not an academic co-op. We are more of a support group and a social group. And honestly, so many states, if you go to your state website, not all of them, but some of them will have links to different groups that are in your state that you could find one near you. But here's something I want to warn you. Well, this is a double-edged sword, you could say. It is so important that you have a community.
Yes.
It could get lonely to be a homeschool mom if you are never interacting with other homeschool moms. There's also a very unique bond that homeschool moms have. It's something that's so special. You could meet any other homeschool mom across the nation, and it's like meeting a sister in Christ. There's just a bond, and it's the same. You know, it's kind of the same dynamic with a homeschool mom. It's so important to have that. And I am talking more than just a social media presence. I'm talking the mom that you can go over to her house in your pajamas and cry if you need to, or she'll take your kids if you need a shower. Or, you know, there's and the Bible talks a lot about we are to be in community. There is something about that sisterhood. But on the other side, sometimes homeschool moms can feel like we have to do all the things. We have to go to all the things that are offered, all of the classes, all of the field trips, and then it becomes stressful and it becomes overwhelming. And if you're listening to this, I've met a lot of moms that are like, I am not a homeschool group. I'm not into that. That's not my thing. And that's okay. Grab a hold of one or two other families and you can do life with those families. There's not rules. Again, this is what fits best for you and your kids. Sometimes these co-ops can almost become an idol where you're never home. You're just going out, 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 and it becomes overwhelming and it's not good for your kids. So the goal of this is to have a support group. The goal of this is to do this journey together with people that are going to constantly point you to Christ, that are going to come along your side, come along your side through the good and the bad. And it could be a co-op. It could be a small support group. It could be one or two other moms that you just get together with occasionally. But this is a bit of a lifeline. I would have to say this is one of those. Well, that's why it made the top 10.
Yeah.
It is so important to have community in what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And Christian community. There are a lot of secular homeschool communities, and not that you can't ever do things with them, but you want to try to find a group of other moms and other families who are sharing in your faith and in your desire to train up your children through God's word. You need that encouragement. And so, you know, and we've said this before, if you don't have one, start one, because I promise you, if there are other homeschoolers in your community and there's not a support group or a co-op or, you know, even just a group of people getting together to do field trips together or meet at the park, they're as much in need of it as you are. Mm-hmm. And someone has to start it at some point. So be that person. The other thing I want to say on that is if you are an introvert, if you're one of those moms who just, you really don't like being around people and you are happy to just be at home all the time with your kids and just read all day long with them, but your kids are not like that, you mm-hmm. need to get your kids out. It's going to stretch you. It's going to stretch your personality and your comfort zone, but put yourself out there. It doesn't have to be every week, but maybe once a month. And I think mm-hmm. you'll really be surprised at how the Lord can build relationships within the homeschool community. Like Abby said, you know, there is something special about homeschoolers, about Christian homeschoolers that just have a common bond. You know, it's kind of like when you're walking through the grocery store and you're pregnant and you see another pregnant woman and you're like, I got your back, girl. You know, like you understand each other. You understand, yes. you know, what's going on in your bodies and the, you know, the sleepless nights and, right. or the mom who has the, you know, toddler who's throwing a tantrum and you've been there, you've done that. And you just are like, yep, I got you, sister. I understand mm-hmm. what you're going through. It's like that with homeschooling as well. And so mm-hmm. get yourself out there, step outside your comfort zone.
If for no other reason, if you think, oh, I've got this, or I've met moms and they're so bogged down by what they have to do at home that they miss out on that. Think of it this way. There could be a mom that needs you.
Yep.
There could be a mom at her wit's end who is ready to quit this incredible call. And it might not be for you, and it might not even be for your kids, but it could be for that other mom. So honestly, fellowship and community is a biblical concept. This isn't just, hey, I feel like it or I don't. And again, like Yvette said, it's not just about us. Well, in fact, it's not about us at all. Right. It's about what God's called us to do and what is best for our children and serving others. So again, if you need to find a local group, look it up on social media, go to your state page and see if maybe they have a list there. We can help you find something in your community. If you need, reach out to us. If there isn't one, like Yvette said, start one. And that just might mean a weekly park date. Don't feel like you need to do these big elaborate things. It could just mean meeting at the park once a week.
Yep. Yep. And also if your state organization will have some, HSLDA also has a whole list. If you mm-hmm. go on the website, once you're a member, if you go on the website, I'm sorry, I'll put the link in there. I will. Mm-hmm. but it's like find a local support group, something like mm-hmm. that. And you just put in your state and your area and it will pop up with every local support group that falls
has registered with
HSLDA. Yeah. And there are hundreds of them. So that's another really great way to find a local community. So let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. There is a truth that all dads universally acknowledge. Fatherhood is a challenge. A glorious, righteous, wonderful challenge, but it's also really hard. It's tough to be a good dad who is wise and patient, but also doesn't suffer fools, as it were. Dr. Brian Phillips feels this keenly, and in his new podcast on the Circe Podcast Network, he hosts conversations about the important and powerful role all dads take on. It's called The Weight of Fatherhood, and on it, he'll be chatting with a wide array of guests, including psychologists, pastors, authors, professors, and friends about the challenges, joys, goals, and frustrations that almost every dad faces, especially dads who work really hard to be decent fathers. Listen to The Weight of Fatherhood today, wherever you find your favorite podcast. We are back, and we want to talk about this last one for this episode. We're on number 7. So really quickly to recap what we've talked about today is de-school, find a local community, and then number 7, which is number 3 for for this episode, is understand your teaching style and your child's learning style. This is so very important. Abby, I'm going to let you kind of jump into this one because you are, we're both teachers, really.
Yeah.
But
yeah, don't pull the teacher card because that's like,
I'm
that
pulling
means
that teacher
nothing.
Card.
Yeah. It really doesn't mean anything because I had to
it's
undo
true.
All that.
It's true.
You are.
I'm as much of a teacher as you are.
Yes. And you are. And you are an expert on your children. But that's I will right. go into a little bit to the kids. I think a lot of people are familiar with kids' learning styles. You know, you've got the auditory and the verbal kids that learn through hearing, through talking. You know, you've got your kinesthetic learners, kids that learn through physical activity. So, you know, you can find all that out there. And that's really important. And that is one of the huge benefits of homeschool is we can teach to our kids learning styles in the way that they learn best. You know, if I have a very kinesthetic learner and to do his work, he needs to stand. You know, I have another auditory. So it's absolutely wonderful to be able to learn that. But here is something that we don't often think about, and that is a mom's teaching style. And that is really important when it comes to homeschool because it matters. You can have all these lofty ideas of, you know, I'm going to do the most incredible. Okay, we're going to get honest about who I am. I'm not a craft mom. It's not who I am. I don't love doing all the crafts and the messes. Does that mean I don't? No, I still do them to a level, but I'm not going to be like my friend Marilee who like blows things up in her living room for the sake of science. I wish I was like that, but I was finding myself defeated because I would get all this incredible stuff to do that. And then it never happened and I felt like I was failing. So you have to be very realistic about how do I like to teach? How can I take who God made my kids and who God made me and work those two things together? And it goes back again to praying because God did make your kids and he did make you and he did put you guys together. And so it is going to mesh and it is going to mold. But it is something to really think about. Also, we'll talk about curriculum in our next one. But those are things that you need to think about as you choose curriculum. So here's a tip for new moms that are just starting this. You are going to get everything dialed in with your first child. You're going to get all of it worked out and the kinks. You're going to have all the lesson plans beautiful and all the curriculum picked. And then the second child's going to come along and you're going to pull out your hair wondering why it's not working if you don't understand that every kid is made different and learns different.
That's
you
right.
know, same mom, different kids. And you've probably already learned that just by being their mom. But that pulls into school also. So it is an incredible blessing to get to know your kids on that level. I mean, so many moms who send their kids away to be educated, they miss that. They miss out on getting to know their kids' unique learning styles and what makes them tick and what makes it click, you know? But again, like Yvette said with another topic is it will stretch you. And so it's a beautiful thing though.
Right.
So,
and it's not a scary thing. It's not something that you're going to learn overnight. So don't take this as I have to figure out my kids' learning style and my teaching style before I can successfully homeschool. Mm-hmm. This is a process that's going to take years. I mean, you may never, ever really figure out your child's learning style or exactly your teaching style.
But it might change.
And it might change. That's right. It could change. But, you know, you will figure out how your kids learn best. I recently was talking to a mom at a homeschool mom's night, and we were talking about reading aloud to our kids. And she said, I just feel like, you know, they don't listen. I don't really enjoy reading and stuff. And I said, well, you know, what are you doing? What do you have them do when you read? She's like, well, I make them sit still. And I was like, oh, no. You don't want to do that. Like, kids are not meant to have to sit still and quiet with their hands in their laps folded while you read to them. I said, let them move. They have to move. Right. They need to do something with their hands, especially the younger they are. And that's what you're saying. You know, it's going to change over time. A 4-year-old will listen better to you reading aloud to him if he is playing with Legos or Play-Doh or drawing or coloring or doing, you know, playing with his cars, whatever, flipping upside down on the couch, doing something with his body. It's going to seem like he's not listening at all, but he is listening. And he will actually listen and comprehend better moving his body than he will if you make him sit still. But if you're reading to a high schooler, you know, they have the capability to sit still. And
correct.
And even them, you know, my oldest is in high school and she loves to draw. And so almost every day while we're reading, she sits and draws and doodles. She's actually designing stickers right now, which is really fun. And so that's been kind of her latest thing as I'm reading to them. She sits and draws. And so anyway, that's you will learn it through mm-hmm. time. It's just not something you're going to learn right away. So many of these other steps are like, boom, just do it. You know,
you'll get it.
Pray.
And
know your why.
Not every kid fits into each box. So again, don't put your kids in a box. And honestly, it goes back to what we talked about with number five is de-schooling.
Right.
You know, get out of your head that your kids need to sit still upright in a chair to accomplish, you know, to read it. That's not how it works. So get those things out of your head. This is how my kid has to learn. These kids don't all fit in a box. So they're all, this is what it comes back to is your why. I'm doing this because God created it this way. And therefore he created each kid unique and independent with their own gifts and their own talents. And I was made to be their mom. And so he will equip me to teach them according to who they are. And it is probably one of the greatest blessings in doing what we do.
Yes. Amen. And don't expect them to learn the way that you learn. I just want to throw that in there really quickly. Don't get frustrated with them when they learn differently. That was one thing I was really grateful that I realized early on was my oldest learns very much like my husband. She needs noise in the background. She can sit and do math and listen to music at the same time. And I'm like, I don't know how you do that. I need total, absolute, complete silence. If I have to concentrate on something, if I'm writing or, you know, I don't do math anymore, but, you know, if I need to concentrate my brain on something, I need silence. Mm-hmm. My husband he got through college by listening to music. Like he has to have music in the background, literally just pumping through his eardrums in order to be able to focus. Well, my daughter is the same way. She needs to have some kind of noise in her ears to be able to focus and concentrate. So don't expect your kids to sit still at a table, sit with their legs crossed. Some kids do better that way. But that's the thing is you're going to learn what works best for you and for your kids. And if they say, Mom, I really learn better, you know, laying on my tummy with a pillow under me and, you know, whatever, you know, or flipped upside down, whatever, however, listen to them.
We are able to customize our children's education because we can homeschool.
Right.
One of the greatest benefits of homeschool is customizing our kids' education to them, to our family, to us.
Yep, that's right. So, all right, we are out of time for this episode. We are going to be back tomorrow for the conclusion of the 10 steps to homeschooling with excellence. I'm going to recap really quickly what we've gone through so far in parts one and two. Number one is pray. Number two is know your why. Number three is know your state laws and find out about your state organization. Number four is join HSLDA. Five is de-school. Six is find a local community. And seven is understand your teaching style and your child's learning style. We will be back tomorrow with numbers 8, 9, and 10, and we may even have a bonus one in there. We will see. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Please, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, please make sure you go onto schoolhouserocked.com and join us there. We send out a newsletter once a week, once every couple of weeks, somewhere around there. And it's just with just encouragement, links to the podcasts and blog posts and sometimes stories about homeschool families. And so we would love for you to make sure that you are part of that part of the ministry so that we can continue to encourage you. So thanks so much, Abby. We will be back with you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program. Parents seeking alternatives to traditional education find Classical Conversations gives their children the best possible opportunities to succeed in grade school, middle school, high school, and beyond, to prepare them for a lifetime of success, no matter what their goals for the future. So if you're considering homeschooling and you don't know where to start, or if you're already homeschooling and you want to explore another option, we've been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence. And we'd love nothing more than for you and your family to join us in our mission to know God and make Him known. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and to learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.